Thanks, Larry. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, they're there. Okay, that's good. I was looking at a topic for tonight about 3 weeks ago when I was decided I was going to, when I found out I was speaking. And then I came to church last Thursday night, and Brother Tom Allen spoke. And if you remember, he was speaking on what? Good. What, Tom, what was the speaker speaking on that week?
Numbers.
Numbers, yeah. Numbers and the priest, right? And we were in, I think, Numbers and maybe back in Leviticus, and then he got into 1 Timothy. And I thought, oh, no. But and maybe, I don't know if he went to James or not. I think he just quoted the one in James. But both of my verses, of course, both of my passages were just touched on. But as I mentioned to him later on afterwards, I said, I think that's good because that's just sets the stage for tonight. So let's open up to 1 Timothy 2. I was going to have a short message and a long prayer time tonight, but I forgot to tell Larry about that. But that's okay, because it's going to fit right in with what we're going to talk about here tonight anyway. 1 Timothy 2. And this is, if I remember right, he read the first three verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth, verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And then the ancillary verse is in, keep your finger here and go over to James 5. Although I think most of us could quote that one once we start it. Hebrews and then James, chapter 5. And we often read the passages in verse 14, verse 13 and 14 for those that are sick. 13, 14, and 15. Verse 16 of chapter 5 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And there's two other passages that talk about confessing faults, you know, and both of them have to do with worship, right? So if you go to the altar and you remember that a brother hath ought against you, leave your gift at the altar and go and settle it before, and then come back and worship at the altar. Or if you go to the altar and you remember that you have something against someone else, leave your gift and go and settle it, and then come back and give your gift at the altar. And those are two passages that are really very important to our worship. You know, the assemblies preach worship before service. But God said, I don't want your worship if you're holding grudges, or if you've grieved someone, or if they've grieved you, and you're just saying, oh, forget it. You know, I won't talk to them about it. And if you're burying things and not getting it cleared up, God doesn't want your worship. God doesn't want my worship, because He wants things talked about and settled, rather than just letting things fester. I had a neat little sliver about a week and a half ago, splitting wood for the fireplace. And I tried to get that thing out. I just could not get that out. You know, when you have trifocals, it's a little difficult. But anyway, I couldn't get that. But I knew if I left it in long enough, it would what? Fester. Yeah, right. And, you know, you get all that neat fluid in there and stuff like that. And sure enough, but that didn't do it either. So I had to wait until, it's neat. Because if you get to the point where you get beyond the festering, then all the way around the splinter or whatever the foreign object is in your skin, well, your body builds a little hard casing around that, and about 2 days ago that came off. So the body has a way of healing itself, even though the needle I tried to use didn't quite do the job, and the tweezers besides. So and so it is in an assembly or in the body of Christ at large. You know, if there's a foreign object in there, if there's sin in there and it's not settled, you know, if it's one thing, it's going to affect our worship. Certainly affected my use of this hand. every time I went to touch something, why I could feel that on the fleshy part. You've been there, right? Yeah, you know that. But you have a splinter or something like that, and boy, I think it's tender after about 3 days. And three or four days. And you know it's there, you know, and even if you can't quite get at it to get it out, you know it's there. And confession before one another, before worship, is very important. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the passage I wanted to speak on is back over in 1 Timothy 2. And something that we, you know, we could probably fulfill this order from Paul in several different ways. You know, we could say, oh, God bless all the government officials, right? And it says here, pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But as you read, even if you just heard what Jeff read tonight from Spen and Phillips, you know, government affects believers. They have to. They've had some conferences. They haven't been able to have meetings, right? There's some meetings they weren't able to have because of the government. Remember, we talked about this poison up in the northern states called Sharin or whatever it's called, where the Muslims are dictating up in the northern states policy, and we're to be praying that doesn't contaminate all the way down into the south. But it sounds like something's already affected the area down around Lagos. Or Ica, I should say, where Spen and Phyllis are, if they're not being able to have meetings. So government does affect the believers, and it does affect His Word getting out, God's Word getting out. We don't notice that here much, you know, except for our own maybe intimidation of other people we don't witness, or we don't share the Word as much as we should. But that's not government. Government says, hey, go ahead, you can say all you want, except in public schools, you know. Or put up Ten Commandments in the court of law or something like that. We've gone all through that the last couple of years too. So, but as far as praying for those in government, first of all, President is Clinton, Bill Clinton. He needs a lot of prayer, right? Okay, one way or another, but we need to pray for him. Vice President is Al Gore. House of our representative in the House of Representatives. Jack Quinn, right? Okay, senator. By the way, each state has how many senators? Two senators. Okay. They come around when they want to do the bridge, the peace bridge. You know, who was that came in and said he could get all sorts of money for the peace bridge? Charles Schumer, right? Okay, or maybe Daniel P. Moynihan, soon to be maybe. Well, that we don't even want to get into that one. Okay. Governor of the state, George Pataki, who was just in town recently. Was that you were telling me about that? Red? Yes. Yeah, right. At Mike's place of work, was it? Yeah. Right. Saw that on TV today. Okay. Attorney General for our laws in New York State. This, by the way, I'm not going to test you on this at the end. I'm going to give you all the answers. Attorney General Elliot. Thank you, Elliot Spitzer. Okay, very good. First names always help. State Senator for Hamburg and Boston and Eden, anyway. Dale Volker. Or in the case of Lackawanna, William starts with an S. Stokowski. William Stokowski, okay. Although I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's yeah, the first two are locked one. Okay. State Assemblyman, right up on South Park. Former school board member from Frontier, I think. I'm not sure. Pardon me? Richard Smith. Or in the case of, I hope I've got this right, either Lackawanna or Boston, but it's Brian Higgins is the other one, okay, for this area. And these are some names you only see, you only hear them either during primaries or you hear them during elections, right? But we should be thinking about these people and praying for them. Dick Smith is right from this area, and, you know, there might be policies here that we can be effective with in the state. What government official did we read in the paper may have accepted Christ this year? Or at least he was witnessed too strongly by his wife before he had lymph node surgery. Joel Jamber, right. And then, you know, I don't know if you caught that article, but it came, beautiful article, page one, Buffalo News, you know, coming down to a very important surgery, found out he's got cancer, lymph nodes, and it says that his wife, who's been going to a charismatic church instead of the Catholic church that they had been brought up in, his wife witnessed to him, and she said, I'll lay it on the line for you. You have one of two destinations. And then it said, go to page 10, and on page 10, it didn't say anything about what he did. Really, just... really disappointing. I was hoping he'd be up at Chestnut Ridge when Jim Kelly had his group up there a little while back for the kids. I was hoping Jamber would have been up there so I could have talked to him about that. But I talked to somebody and they said that they thought that he had accepted the Lord, but he wasn't sure. Oh, I talked to the guy from the guy that gave a good spiritual testimony from Hamburg Wesleyan Church, where a lot of football players go, because Jim Kelly asked this guy. And I asked him later, I said, did you read that thing about Joel Jamber? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you think that he accepted the Lord? He said, well, I think he did. But he said, it didn't really say that, but he says, I think he may have, from what I know of the family. I said, what about Jim Kelly? He says, no, Jim Kelly hasn't. But he said, there's four of our women from Hamburg Wesleyan that take care of his child, Hunter, in the home, off and on during the week. And he hears the message. He hears the word of God. Boy, now here's a guy that hears the word of God occasionally during the week from these women that take care of his child. You know, so his wife is a believer. This fellow said, but he said Jim hasn't made a commitment yet. Boy, there's a guy that's not going to have any excuse. You know, he's had believers in the home every day for years. We've seen a kind of a flush-faced gentleman on TV lately. District attorney is Frank Clark. Sheriff is Pat Gallivan, and county clerk is David Swartz. Okay. Now, these are some names that I'm throwing out here because it's kind of what I want to do is give you an awareness that when God says here, we pray for kings, pray for all that are in authority, these are some people that are in authority. And they should be more than names to us at election time. I'm not saying that we should be familiar with everybody, but I found out somebody here that's an officer of one of the local villages or towns that I didn't know was an officer. I knew the guy was active in politics, but I didn't know he was an officer when I did the research this week, I found that out. But for kings that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, there's the results of praying and be interacting with people in authority is that it yields to a peaceable life, quiet and peaceable life. Some people are so. What did I read this week? Are you a type of person that stares at a can of orange juice simply because it says concentrate? You know, some people are quiet, you know. That's not the kind of quiet that it's talking about here. But, you know, we don't want to be the kind of person that just sits and stares at a can of orange juice because it says concentrate. That's not what it means, folks, okay? So we do want to interact in prayer on behalf of people. Okay, what does the name Pat Oak refer to? What position? Patrick Cole. Jason? Town of Hamburg supervisor, right? Why pray for him? He's bouting cancer right now. In addition to being town supervisor, he's bouting cancer right now. And one of the board members there, Mark Cavicoli, has been filling in for him. The town board is Cavicoli, Hoschel, Joan Kestner, and Tom Quattrochi, Jr. And that's the ones that affect our town of Hamburg. Okay? In the village here, the mayor is who? Jewett, okay. Town board. Town board. One name that we should know. George. I never knew he was a town board. I knew he was active in the Taxpayers Association, but I didn't realize he was in the town board. Ray and I saw him the other night, right? Was when we were doing visitation a couple weeks ago. We're sitting there, and George comes in with this nice suit and tie. I'm thinking, wow. You know? And... he's a town councilman. No wonder he had a suit and tie. George Lee, Betty Carlin Anderson, Bob Warner, and Don DiPerto. I don't know who that particular one is. John Kuryak, who's he? Mayor of Lackawanna. Okay, now we've got six people here from Lackawanna here, see, tonight. So that's valid, okay? You go down Ridge Road and you find all sorts of parking spaces for Ricardo Estrada, Daniel Koza, Gerald DiPasquale, and Ronald Spadoni. I think he's your ward, right? Fourth ward? Yeah. I see the Campbells aren't here, so I won't go over Orchard Park. Irma and Mrs. Walters aren't here, so I won't go over Boston. Glenn Nellis. Anyone ever hear that? I forgot about West Seneca, too. I forgot all about Goodyear's and Mancuso's and Carson's. Town of Eden, Glenn Nellis, Vince Vacco, Ed Chrysia, Mary Lou Pugh, and George Zittel. There's a name from Eden. You know, if I'd have given you George Zittel's name, somebody would have referred to us to Eden, the Zittel Farms. We have the obligation to pray for those that are over authority over us. And yes, it's true. You can say, Lord, help the government, help the president, help so-and-so. But, you know, we really ought to be able to pray as individuals, too. Not just think about these names on election day or think of these names on primary day, but also there's real people there. Jack Quinn's been doing a lot of work for Western New York. And he's crossing a narrow line between Democrat and Republican. They've been trying to decide what he is, you know. He's really doing a number for both party, or mainly for the people of Western New York. If you read some of the controversy that the Democrats are trying to decide whether to back him or not sometimes, and yet he just keeps coming back and getting more stuff for Western New York. Dan had a chance to go into his office in D.C. He wasn't there, but he had some questions regarding back home here for his business, and his office helped Dan quite a bit down there. So there might be a point in time when these people you do need to contact some of these people. We should be praying for them, especially for Joel Giambra. He's had he's certainly been witness to. Lord spoke to him greatly through his wife. Pray that he may have made a personal decision for the Lord. Pray for especially in the town of Hamburg here, Pat Hoke, who's been ill. I don't know how he's doing now, but also pray for Gerald Close. Who's Gerald Close? School superintendent for Frontier. He's got cancer, and he's resigned as of effective the end of the year. But things that go on at the school board of education, and at the, what do you call it, the district offices? I don't even know what they call it. I've been out for 9 months. I don't remember the name of the place. Frontier Educational Center. But Dr. Gloss, pray for him for his health. I saw him a while back, and he had a dark brown wig, and he never had dark brown hair in his life. But the chemo and radiation, you know, has taken a toll. And I didn't even recognize him. I was 5 people away from him. I asked Stan Fiegel how Dr. Gloss was doing. He says, it's right at the end of the table, about from here to that thermostat. I said, oh. You know, so later on I went up and talked to him. But a lot of big decisions go on at school board meetings that affect kids in the community. And we need to pray for elected officials. And sometimes, and specifically those that are over you and your children, you know, and family. Because in verse 3 it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Isn't that something? So one of the things we're supposed to be praying for is not just that we'll be safe and we'll have good leadership, and that and even for those that are sick, like Mr. Giambra or Mr. whoever else I was talking about here a minute ago, those that I mentioned that were ill, but Pat Hope, that was the other one I was trying to think of. But also it says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Okay, we need to be praying for salvation. For our elected officials, and also for those in our communities. Because if the spiritual climate stays free, we have an opportunity to witness. And that's what Paul's teaching here to Timothy. Because God wants to have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, I hope I can find it. Let's keep your fingers here and let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Is it 11? Let's see. That one verse that I gave last month. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 15. And there's one verse in here. Let's see. First Corinthians 15. There was one passage in here I gave you a couple of weeks ago that talked about the fact that I say this to your shame, for not all men have believed. Maybe it's not in this chapter. But, there it is, verse 34. Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And it says here in First Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In 1 Corinthians, to the Corinthians, he's talking about that some have not even knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But in 1 Timothy, he's telling Timothy to pray for leaders, because it's God's will that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. Boy, there's a diversity of religions, aren't there? There's one God. One mediator between God and man. Now, I don't know if you saw, but there's the Muslims today that are walking around this big cubic black thing in the middle of this in Mecca. Mecca is what? Hindus? I don't even know. Anyway, over in Mecca, these people are supposed to, sometime in their life, try to get to Mecca. And it had this whole mass of humanity walking around this big, probably about 25 feet, maybe 40 feet by 40 feet and 25 feet high, black thing in the middle. And they were walking around this thing in circles. I showed on TV the other day. I remember it was like about 100,000 people inside this huge, round structure. And it says here there's one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. That kind of includes us. Right? It wasn't just wherever Timothy went. It wasn't just for the Corinthians, who hadn't witnessed to certain people and they should be ashamed. But rather it says here that I will then, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Some in the assemblies believe this has to do with righteous living. Okay. Some in other denominations believe that it means you lift up your hands. The Jews used to lift up their hands. Okay. I remember distinctly when we went to Temple Beth El with Pat years ago. He took us all to the synagogue in downtown. I think it was a mixed group or just a men's class. I think it was a mixed group. Where he went to Temple on Delaware Avenue, and they said that they're curved like that, and in the synagogues out in the Far East, some of them were open, so that because the rabbis would lift their hands up when they prayed, but some of the assemblies believe this just talks about righteous living, and I'm of the former group, not the latter, but lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And there's another passage in James that talks about let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a ship tossed around on a raging sea. Don't let that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. We need to pray in faith. And it says here, without wrath and doubting. So I'd like to encourage you tonight to pray for our leaders. And I just happen to have a list of those ones that I was talking about. And I also have a little something else I found at the last town hall I visited this week. Naturally, you have to be the last one. But the last town hall... Here, we need a couple guys to pass these out. This is a Mr. Allen trick. I have a couple handouts today. The blue one will give you not only the supervisors and stuff and the mayors, but it'll also give you the telephone numbers in case you have any reason to call your town hall or your village mayor's office. It also has a telephone number on there. And it'll also give addresses, I think, to some of the other people. But I just happened to find that in the Hamburg Village Hall, this blue folder, which I thought was kind of neat. One person, we have many prayer requests here at the chapel and at camp and other places. This is one we don't usually talk about, and I wanted to spend some time on it tonight because I think that it's important to us as a society, as a free society, as a group of believers, as a church. We used to have dinner for the firemen and the policemen, I think, in the village here. Okay, we did that quite, I don't know how many years ago. I bet that's about 10 years now. 8 to 10 years. I don't know, maybe not that far back, but I think it was almost that far. We used to have that. That was kind of a neat thing. I like that. I don't know whether we did that once or twice. Thank you. Whether we did that once or twice. But let's remember to pray for those that serve us in government, and uphold them before the Lord for salvation, and also for wisdom, and also that their decisions might be such that would keep our country free, or our town free, or our village free, or city, depending on what governmental listing you live in. Okay, because we're encouraged by the Lord to pray for each of these. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the opportunity tonight to come into your word. We're thankful, Father, for Paul's encouragement to Timothy to remind him to pray for government, to pray for leaders, and in his case, kings, who were overall. And even though, Father, at that time, some kings were very wicked kings, and some emperors were particularly grievous, and many could be bought off and were wicked. But we, help us, Father, to not forget to pray for those in authority over us, and not just as a generic name, but occasionally to pray for individuals and bring them up before you. We pray, Father, for their salvation. We pray, Father, for especially in Erie County Executive Joel Giambra, who was witnessed to very strongly by his wife. We pray, Father, that if he hasn't accepted thee, that he may. Pray, Father, for the others who Pat Hoke, who is sick. Pray that you would restore him back to health, if it's your will. And that for our councilmen here in Hamburg and Blaisdell, and trustees in Blaisdell and the mayor, we pray, Father, for their salvation. We're asked to do that, and we pray for that tonight. We also pray, Father, that they would, in their deliberations, to rule us well, and rule us, Father, that where we would be able to continue to be free in our country to practice our faith. We think of Spen and Phyllis tonight, and of the Wheelers, who have to go out and check somewhere to see if they can have a conference or a meeting for the conference. And we just pray, Father, that we might not neglect to be thankful for the freedoms that we have here in the United States. Pray, Father, for our brethren and sisters overseas who don't have those freedoms, and in some countries are out and out persecuted and killed if they proclaim the name of Christ, especially in the Muslim countries. And we just pray, Father, that you would comfort them and strengthen them. And we know that where your church is persecuted, it grows and they get stronger. Help us, Father, to get stronger here where we are not persecuted, but help us to be lighthouses for thee. We'd also uphold tonight, we forgot to pray for Kevin tonight. Pray for Kevin away at college. We thought about the other ones and neglected Kevin. We pray for him. We pray, Father, for the work day, especially on Saturday. We pray that it might be a safe day, and that we might have a good time of fellowship with those from other assemblies that go down and work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.